All right, got it. Thank you, Jerry, and thank you, Father Glenn, Seth, everybody for inviting me. This is really great. I just love this, and I think I'd like to come every October hereafter. I mean that sincerely. This is my bring my family with me. The one issue is I teach at Grove City College in Grove City, Pennsylvania, and our homecoming is usually about this time. In fact, our homecoming is today. And so that's something I'm usually expected to do. And the homecoming parade's a bunch of fun. So it's hard to work out the timing. But it's really encouraging to see this. My own Fatima story, I was a Protestant, evangelical, and I was teaching my specialty, which is communism, the Cold War. Ronald Reagan, Pope John Paul II, Margaret Thatcher, Lech Walesa, Mikhail Gorbachev, who just died, all these different figures. And I came upon one day the story of Fatima. And I heard about these predictions from this woman, right? The Blessed Mother, allegedly, and through these three children in Portugal talking about the evil and errors of communism. A word they didn't even know what that was, right? Bolshevism. I mean, imagine an 8-9-year-old little kid, farm kid from Portugal, right, saying words like Bolshevism and communism. It's the kind of thing they can't make up, right? And the first time that I heard about it and I heard the predictions, I was just blown away. I said, this has just got to be accurate. All these different witnesses, what the kids were claiming. I remember talking to Scott Hahn about this, and Scott and I are really good friends. We've lived parallel lives. We both went to Grove City College and converted and became Catholics at Grove City College. In fact, my son, who just finished his master's degree at Franciscan University in Steubenville, lived with Scott last year, Scott and his family. But I remember talking to Scott about this, and Scott was really anti-Catholic. I mean, when he was at Grove City College, he would have been the guy with a torch, right? You know, chasing the Catholics off campus, right? You know, screaming at them. I mean, I was never that. In fact, I'm actually a Weaver. I've been raised Catholic, but Scott just hated Catholics. And I talked to him about Fatima, and he said, I'll never forget. He said, Kimberly, his wife, was giving birth, and this thing came up on the TV in one of the religious channels about Fatima. And he said, keep in mind, he said, I'm totally anti-Catholic. And I watched this, and he said, I couldn't take my eyes off. I was just fixated. I was fascinated by it. And so, you know, his reaction was what was much the same as mine. So it began for me this lifelong interest in Fatima that eventually led to books and other subjects and talks like this. So glad to be here. I got to say one other thing, too. I'm an editor for the American Spectator, which is a magazine that was founded in Bloomington, Indiana in 1967 by R. Emmett Terrell Jr. The original name of the original American Spectator was created by a guy named George Jean Nathan, who's from Fort Wayne. Anyone know about him or where he's from or anything? No? All right. So I'm kind of throwing that out for information. He founded the American Mercury with H.L. Mencken. He was a fascinating figure, you know, New York intellectual. And when he died, converted to Catholicism. It's a great story. And he's from Fort Wayne. And so if anybody here has any information on that, let me know. I'm going to get the information back to the American Spectator people. All right, we're here to talk not about George G. Nathan, but this, Fatima. So Fatima's warnings fulfilled, the evils and errors of communism. This is kind of a primer, if you will, on what communists believe, where this came from. And the original book was published in 1848, The Communist Manifesto, written by who? Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels. It's going to be a test on this when we're finished. All right. So it was published in 1848, and the book opens with this phrase, a specter is haunting Europe, the specter of communism. They describe communism as a specter, right? A ghost, a spirit. And then they said in the next line, they said, all the old forces of Europe are allying together to exorcise the specter, right? Not E-X-E-R, like running on a treadmill, right? But like an exorcism of a demon. And they even said, leading the charge on this, the Pope, the Tsar, Metternich, all these other figures. So right away, 1848, these guys, Marx and Engels, throughout their books and their writings, they mock religion over and over again. In fact, there's a letter from Engels to Marx when they're working on the manifesto. And Engels says to Marx, give a little more thought to the catechetical form of our book. I think instead of calling it our communist confession of faith, we should call it just the manifesto. So they originally used words like catechism and confession of faith. So they always, all the time, were mindful of and mocking religion, aping religion. They say in the beginning of the manifesto, the theory of the communists may be summed up in a single sentence. Okay, so if anybody asks you, how do you define communism? Say, well, Marx and Engels, the founder in the Communist Manifesto, said four words: abolition of private property. Abolition of private property. Now the church, you know, New Testament, Old Testament, from the cave to the courthouse, private property has been sacrosanct. I mean, the right to own property. The Ten Commandments, right? One of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not steal. People have a right to have property. These guys, the very heart of their program is to abolish private property. So right then and there, and they say, you are horrified or intending to do away with private property? Well, that's not what we really mean. No, they said that is exactly what we intend to do. Eliminate your private property. Now, there's a lot of young people around here. I have kids. I have eight kids. My 10-year-old daughter, Gianna Maria, could tell you, Daddy, if they try to eliminate private property, they're going to have to kill 100 million people. I mean, that's a non-starter. You try to take away people's private property, you're going to have a bloody war on your hands. And they knew it. They knew how radical this was. So Marx, Engels, Lenin, socialism, communism, all of this. This is a question I get asked too. What's the difference between socialism and communism? Marx and Engels and Lenin and the Bolsheviks all said that communism is the final transitionary step in this process where you go from slavery to feudalism to capitalism to socialism to communism. So socialism is just the final transitionary step to communism. And a lot of young people in America today are saying, well, I don't believe in communism. I'm a socialist. Or I'm a democratic socialist, because they think that that's better. But these guys would say, well, great, you're on your way then, right? You're on your way to full communism. Their slogan, workers of the world unite. That's what Marx and Engels wrote in the close of their book. And Marx acknowledged that his views on property stood contrary to the political order of things. So if you said to these guys, you know, abolishing private property, don't you get how radical this is? They got it. They knew. They knew this was a really, really big deal. They said, communism seeks to abolish the present state of things. It's a very revolutionary philosophy. This is what our church understood. This is apparently what a lady in Fatima understood, right? This isn't just about sharing or spreading the wealth or redistributing some income, right? They wanted to abolish the present state of things, a very radical system. The communists everywhere, they said at the end of the manifesto, support every revolutionary movement against the existing social political order of things. Right? Every political movement against the existing social political order of things. And look at that bottom quote. The communists tell you that their ends can be achieved only by the forcible overthrow of all existing social conditions. Think about that. That's really, really radical. I mean, the Democrats and Republicans, you know, they have certain ideas about tax rates and healthcare and so forth, right? These guys called for the forcible overthrow of all existing social conditions. They weren't just tinkerers, right? They changed this and changed that. Oh, that's really bad. We need to change this, but we'll keep that. They want to forcibly overthrow everything. It's like pure nihilism. a very totalitarian radical ideology. They hated religious education. They hated home education. At the close of the manifesto, in the manifesto, they said, "You seek us with charging, with parents wanting to stop the exploitation of children by their parents. To this crime, we plead guilty. But you will say, we destroy the most hallowed of relations when we replace home education by social." There's a 10-point plan in the Communist Manifesto. Point 10, so number one is abolition of property and land and so forth. Two, establishment of a progressive or graduated income tax. Three, abolition of all right of inheritance. By the way, go to the millennial at Starbucks with a little Marx sticker on the back of the laptop and say, "How about if we abolish all of your right to inherit your parents' private property?" You like that? You want to do that? Abolition of all right of private property. The point 10, free education for all children in public schools. They wanted to ban, and they sought to ban, all religious schooling, all homeschooling, and turn it all over to the secular communist state and the states run states government schools. Marx protested against what he called the disgusting bourgeois claptrap about the family and the hallowed correlation between parent and child. By the way, our church will tell you, right, that the relationship between parent and child is hallowed. It is special. And the home is the first place of education. But the Communist Manifesto goes after that. Young people say to me all the time when I speak around the country, "Oh, the Communist Manifesto is a pretty good book if you just read it. Yeah, it talks about sharing." And I say, "Oh yeah, have you read it? It doesn't just talk about sharing wealth. It talks about things like abolishing home education, abolishing the hallowed relationship between parent and child." This is what worried the church about this ideology. These guys also hated religion. They hated the idea of moral absolutes. Marx called religion the sigh of the oppressed creature, the heart of a heartless world, the soul of soulless conditions. Religion is, said Marx, what? The opiate of the masses. Opiate of the masses. Heart of a heartless world. Soul of soulless conditions. Marx said, "Communism begins where atheism begins." That was one of Fulton Sheen's favorite quotes about Marxism. And I'm running into people all the time now who call themselves Christian communists. These guys would tell them, "You're out of your mind." And Marx would have said, "Don't you understand? Communism begins where atheism begins. You can't be a Christian and a communist. The two are incompatible. What are you talking about?" And Christian socialists, I run into these people. If you want to help the poor, just do the gospel. Do what Jesus would do, right? You got your book, the Bible. You don't need to go to the manifesto written by these two angry atheists who didn't believe in religion. You know, just why would you want to do that? Vladimir Lenin, all worship of a divinity is a necrophilia. Y'all know what that is? All right, there's kids in the audience. We won't describe what that is. There is nothing more abominable than religion. There is nothing more abominable than religion. Marxism, the communist communism seeks the most radical rupture with traditional relations and traditional ideas. The most radical rupture. They were radicals, revolutionaries. Did you know that this was in the manifesto? By the way, that quote at the top is a letter from Marx to Engels. Marx wrote, "Blessed is he who has no family." Marx had a bunch of kids. Father Glenn and I were talking about this. Two of Marx's daughters committed suicide in suicide pacts with their husbands. Marx was just a terrible father, terrible home relations, just awful. The Communist Manifesto actually says, I can't see this right. Abolition of the family. Abolition of the family. Even the most radical flare up at this infamous proposal of the communists. They wrote that in 1848. Abolition of the family, what's that doing in there? I thought this was about sharing stuff. Revolutionary philosophy. All right, so it takes hold in 1917. October 1917, about 13 days after the final apparition at Fatima, which was on October 13th, 1917, the miracle of the sun. After all these days, these 13s in 1917, right? That's when the revolution breaks out, of all things. So almost 70 years after the publication of the manifesto, and you know, right after Our Lady of Fatima had issued all these warnings, these guys take over. Who are they? Quiz. Guy on the left. Stalin, Lenin, and Trotsky. That was the troika. So the revolution in 1917, they have a civil war in Russia from 1918 to 21. Our Lady said, right, they will spread their evil and errors around the world from Bolshevism. 1918 to 21, the civil war between the Bolsheviks and the Mensheviks, 7 million men, women, and children die in that civil war. By the way, give you an idea of the numbers here. 7 million dead, 1918 to 21. How many Americans did we lose in World War II? About 400,000. So imagine losing 7 million of your own people in the civil war during that period. And that follows World War I, where no country lost as many people in World War I as Russia. And then Russia was on the winning side in World War I, but the Bolsheviks pulled them out. So they didn't even get the fruits of that victory. And this is just the start of an incredible amount of death. Communism goes global because they said, Marx and Engels said, workers of the world unite. Got a bunch of different quotes there. By the way, if anybody wants any of these quotes, let me know. I'd be happy to share this presentation with you. Seth can email it to you. He's got a copy of it. If you want to take pictures of any of those quotes or whatever, go. Any of you college students, you might need this stuff, especially if your professor is saying, yeah, communism's a great idea. I'll tell you, the people of Russia just really wanted this. But they said right away that their task was not to have communism in one country, but to spread it around the world. That was the goal. Workers of the world unite. We have a world to win, is what Marx and Engels said. Lenin said, our victory will be a lasting victory, not just when we conquer one country, but when we conquer the whole world, because we launched the revolution exclusively counting on world.